It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Here's to everyone trusting their intuition and their gut every day. When you stick to your truth, it's beneficial to everybody.
Cheers.
That's good.
Welcome to another week of Game of Roses.
Game of Roses.
An in-depth statistical analysis of all the plays of this week, the top players, those who have moved on. We're now in the playoff round, hometowns.
First round of playoffs, hometowns, baby.
Can't believe we're already here. How fast the season doth fly. But these four gents have made it to the first round of playoffs. Something to be applauded. They all usually at this point have over 100,000 followers.
All the floaters are gone.
We saw a drastic shift in game rules. The very structure of the game itself changed in a way that we've never seen before. Unprecedented. So anything we witness now past this season is brand new territory. The game is played differently for these four guys now that they're going to be four in fantasy suites instead of three.
We haven't bought three tickets for three guys. We'll buy another plane ticket that'll be...
This plane ticket was bought the minute Luke started growling in episode one. They were like, that motherfucker's going to fantasy suites. We don't care how. They had everything planned out. He's probably staying in the nicest fucking palace ever.
As long as Luke wants a rose, there will be a rose for Luke. What are the strategies of these top four players? Pilot Pete, he's kind of like a friendly floater.
Pilot Pete, the friendly floater with sex appeal. That's his strategy. He is floating in every other category.
He's floating with his arms, doing his little airplane moves.
Has he played a PTC?
Yeah, he had an excellent use of PTC. He talked about his walls, and then he said that she was breaking them down at the same time.
Oh, that's right. An expert use of PTC, and it was a generic PTC. It was just that I don't emotionally open up. It wasn't anything about a school shooting or a... dead relative or a Sanderson Poe. It was none of those. It was just
iconic PTCs. The school shooting where the guy brought her to a dance party in the place where a bunch of kids from his school were shot and killed. Sanderson Poe might have launched Ashley I to where she is, arguably.
That's
true. Bachelor royalty.
So I think going into fantasy suites, Pilot Pete's strategy has to be to up the emotional stakes, because with all of the other guys still left, it has been a bit of an emotional roller coaster. Luke obviously has been a lot of lows with a few highs, all powered by Jesus H. Christ himself.
And steroids.
Yes. And then you have Jed, always serenading her, which gets her in her little
mood.
Jed
has played 100
several songs,
full albums. We think that Jed has prepared all of these songs before he even came on. He probably had a song that he prepared for hometowns.
He certainly at least had melodies. When he found out he was getting on Bachelor, he certainly at least was putting pieces of songs together the way they were going to sound in his head. Now he's just substituting words to mean whatever.
Substituting girls' names, yeah, et cetera.
All of these songs were written for his other girlfriend.
Yeah,
and now
it's
he's
so
just
weird
like
that all the lyrics rhyme with Megan. Like, what is that about?
And who's the other guy? Oh, Tyler. Obviously,
Tyler.
It's got her just like head over heels. He's the kind of most dynamic of all the remaining players. He has the most tools, I feel.
He has 800,000 followers.
He's definitely
insane.
In the Bachelor zone at this point.
Bachelor zone.
All he has to do is keep doing nothing, essentially. Just doing exactly what he's doing. And he could be the next Bachelor. We'll get to those strategies going into Fantasy Suites as well. We have an experimental strategy that Pace Case, a.k.a. Lizzie Pace, and I have talked about at length. It's a surefire way, once you make it to Fantasy Suites, to become the next Bachelor or Bachelorette. We will be revealing that, hopefully.
In due time. All right, so Pilot Pete hometown. He drives her in his car. She looks through his fucking console thing and finds a condom.
I thought it was interesting that it was in there. But also, took it with a grain of salt. That had to have been a planted moment. You're telling me he gets in that car, knows there's a condom in there, leaves it in there while he's shooting a reality show?
I mean, I think he probably didn't think anyone's going to go through this.
The producers knew it was in there. The producers are like, we'll take your car and get it detailed for you. They went through everything in his car. They might have planted it in there.
Oh, you think the producers got his car? Well, I don't know. His reaction was for me, one of the errors of the game. He said, like, don't put that on camera. Fucking stop. That's so bad. That felt very real.
That's true. He did say, don't put that on camera.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It was a true error.
I don't know. I mean,
I think you're right.
I felt like we saw a flash of, like, who he is when he's not, like, performing. He takes her flying. Great.
A solid move. A fantastic play. Hannah is someone who is very impressed by things like this. Men being able to play guitars or fly airplanes.
The literally things that Barbie dolls teach you to be impressed by. And she says, I feel like when I was playing with my little Barbie dolls, Peter was the guy that you picture. You know, the guy yes. with no genitals who's got a good job.
Very realistic expectations.
She meets his family. They do a screaming German chant, which Hannah, I think, loves because it's prayer adjacent. His mom asked if Hannah makes his heart go ting, ting, ting. That felt like a big moment for me. Did she make...
It is true.
Your heart go ting?
You know, I really love the parents' episodes. This round yes. of the playoffs is almost like the beautiful opening ceremony to the Olympics. You get to see so much color and pomp yeah. and strangeness. And
traditions from various cultures. And
I'll never forget Dini Baby's father had a gong in his living room and wore a
Baby
turban.
Didn't have any fucking furniture in his living room. They just sat on mats and ate.
And the dad played a gong. Never forget Gong Dad.
I would never forget Gong Dad. That is...
It was fantastic.
That is like the maximum color you can bring to a hometown date. And you know what? It probably was good for Dean's Instagram career.
It's great. I mean, this should be a lesson for all players. Once you make it to the playoffs, it's basically like you've been given a team. You're playing essentially like an individual sport. And then all of a sudden, you're the quarterback of a team. And you can kind of have them do anything you want. And it's very important that going into hometowns, you've already pre-discussed with your family what your strategy is going to be. We saw it play out really well with Jed. His family was lying for him. Straight lying about a girlfriend yeah. they didn't have. And
this is why I think they put this episode, or they put this date last in the episode, because they're following along. They're like, oh, this Jed cheating thing is trending. Let's make his date the dramatic one, even though no one went home this week. They're like, let's make people think it's Jed because of the cheating shit. Yeah, he got his whole family to fucking lie to her face.
Absolutely.
And she told his mom, he's the only one I've said I'm falling in love with. So now we have Tyler's hometown in Florida.
Fantastic.
They lather each other up. Tyler's muscles have been one of his main strategies.
Absolutely.
He's got his muscles and he's got his dancing.
I think he has sincerity.
You know what? This might be a high-level strategy in playoffs. This is how you get to that 800,000 number.
Sincerity. That's the real game you're playing, is that this is real. You're making anyone think what you're doing is real. And Luke is fantastically gaslighting people into believing anything he fucking says. But I think Tyler is the real deal. I think he, maybe of all of them, actually feels some of these emotions.
That's beautiful. At Bachelor Clues, Team Tyler.
How dare you? I'm team no
one.
You
said they're all teams. Now you're hashtag team Tyler. Tyler and Hannah. All right, so Tyler's dad's been sick. That part's sad. Here's my play of the game. Ding, okay. ding, ding. Hannah and Tyler outside the limo to leave. Tyler doesn't want the date to end. He has Hannah mount him in the limo. There is a driver in the car. They have sex. Is that the windmill? Is that what that driver calls his car? This is the windmill.
I don't think that's the
this
windmill.
This is my play of the game. Play of the game. You leave her with that as the last moment.
It is a high-level play. I will not argue with you. It is not my play of the game, though. I'll get to that later. But that would be probably a close number two to me. Because you're right. the final moment he spends with her, he leaves her in sexual frustration that can only be fulfilled with a fantasy suite.
He upped his love level, then left her with blue balls.
Masterful play, Tyler.
Luke's hometown has one of my favorite things of the episode. He used the day-date portion of it to, you know what, I would call this a re-upping of his PTC. His PTC is Jesus, and he makes Hannah go to something he calls Sunday school, which is where he and all of his friends get together before church and apparently talk about how they used to, like, fuck a lot, and now they found Jesus.
This was my play of the game. Play of the game.
Sunday school, play of the game. I like that.
Because for me, what it truly did was give him an opportunity to gaslight her in a way she had not yet been gaslit, which was to place her in a room full of other people he's gaslit, to tell the same lie that he told all of them, and then have them all corroborate his lies by saying what a good person he is. It gave, like, if she had any kind of question about, like, is he fucking with me? Well, here's a whole room full of good Christians, and she values that, all telling me he's a great guy. It was bringing in a team to lie for him. It's very similar to what Jed's family did for him, except this is much creepier because there's open religion, culty aspects of it.
You don't think it's fun that they all put their arms on each other and said, we pray for Luke. Luke is, you know.
I mean, it's all a cult. The Bachelor is a cult, too. I mean, they even use cult programming kind of techniques when they force these people to be in a house for, what, 3 months without contact to the outside world? That's cult 101. It's like what Scientology does to you. Don't talk to your family.
No internet, no connection with loved ones. Like, that's the thing. I feel like this is like a meditative retreat in some ways where they're forced to, like, look at their emotions and, like, think about things without influence of the outside world. That's why I feel like they're so bonded together. That's why they all seek each other out afterwards.
They've been through 3 months of psychological torture that only they can understand because it's so specific, so Machiavellian that it exists in no other place on earth. It's only in this show. We can't begin to fathom what happens to them psychologically because there's also elements of fame involved and that you can turn that torture into a fucking career. That's something very good can come out of it if you're willing to go through it and if you can play that game exactly properly.
I mean, that's literally what the Hunger Games is. Oh yeah.
Well, there's not murder in The Bachelor just yet. There's not that just yet.
All right, so back to Shower Jesus Sunday School. He talks about this huge weight lifting off of him and a hole opening up and a Holy Spirit coming to him and convicting him.
He was chasing sex, and then he saw a portal to heaven in his shower. What's wrong with that?
She meets his family.
Luke uses his gaslighting technique again on the family.
He uses it on his mom. He tells his mom he's in love. I see Mrs. Parker. Oh, he says something to his mom, who looks like his sister. Also, his great-grandmother is here. Live to see her great-grandson get on hometowns. I mean, that's the dream.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being as old as... She looked to be what? Maybe 70?
Gotta be older than that, right?
She saw the birth of color television, the home computer, the cell phone, and ultimately reality television. And now she's sitting with royalty from what is a giant reality TV empire. Could she have ever imagined in a million years that this kind of stuff would have existed? It seems insane.
Seems meant to be to me. It seems written in the stars. It's all written in the stars.
No. Oh my God. It's not. The show is poison.
He's not his mom. And he says, I can look you in the eyes and tell you when I look her in the eyes, I love her. It's very weird. It's a very weird moment. Look, he has the eyes of a sociopath.
Looking at people's eyes is a big motif this season. Obviously, last episode, we had Hannah looking at the eyes in the paintings and the painting eyes looking at her and the crying. And I'm looking you in the eyes and I can tell you when I look her in the eyes. It's a lot of eyes, a lot of looking.
Here's what I thought you were going to call his play of game. Luke tells Hannah that he loves her, that he apologizes for everything. I love you. They make out. At Bachelor Clues, that's a swish. Nothing but net.
When you're standing at the car at hometowns, all you have to do at that point is tell her you love her. Free points. You have to take them at this point. And some of these guys didn't tonight. Turns out it didn't matter because they're radically restructuring the game, so all the rules are out the fucking window. But
turns out this sport has no rules.
It does. But it is more like Hunger Games than you even imagine, because a key component of Hunger Games is that the now producers of the games...
Now you're gaslighting me that this isn't Hunger Games.
No, it is in that respect. The producers can affect the actual game just as they can in Hunger Games. They can throw different traps in front of you, what have you. At any rate, yeah, that was a fantastic play. I agree. Ultimately got what he needed out of it, which was a rose. But I think the Bible study enabled the I love you. I think she had a lot of misgivings about Luke going into this. She was going to cut him. He was the decision she was making, not Jed. Jed was already in. She was making that decision about Luke, 100%. She was thinking back to the Bible study, and she was thinking back to all those people who said that he was a great guy. Because her only question about him is he a great guy? Why is he fighting with everyone in the house? And now she has corroboration that he's fantastic. It was all in her head. So I believe the play of the game is the one that got him a rose he wouldn't have otherwise had.
Yes, she was. She said that she was affirmed by the Bible study. Okay, Jed's hometown. Hannah does a hoodoo in a dress. It's how you get pregnant.
Oh, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought
that's
it was
the hoodoo that makes a baby.
Yeah, there were a bunch of good hoodoos this week. Even an underwater hoodoo somebody had. Peter, I think. Whoever was on the boat.
Tyler
had an underwater hoodoo.
He would.
So Jed, of course, the first thing he does when he gets home, when he gets back to his hometown, the first thing Jed does, of course, is record a song. Of course.
He's trying to be in a dark room where his girlfriend can't find him.
God, how fantastic would it have been if she was recording a song in the studio next door. The producers really should have done that.
Yeah.
Oh, the producers made an error. Yeah, the producers dropped the ball there on that one.
Lipstick and Lyrics?
Oh, Lipstick and Lyrics is her Instagram.
Sounds like two birds of a feather. Jed wants to collab with Hannah, so they make a song. He wants to get those song hits up, get some of those streams on the song they collab on together.
He still had a few more songs to kick out. I think that was actually a brilliant move in terms of his strategy. He essentially is writing a little theme song for their love so that if they go far enough, that song gets recorded for real, put on iTunes.
Absolutely. If he wins, that song will be on iTunes. Like,
and it'll probably crack the top 10.
To promote his career. Apparently on day one, he also said a pre-written line. He said, "You shine on the outside. I can't wait to see if you shine on the inside." He's prepared so much material. And Hannah's like, "Oh my God, this is written for me." She's like, "Oh, what's a pilot? It's a musician who just serenades me." Like, she thinks of like relationships in terms of these, like, I mean, Ken dolls.
Meanwhile, this guy had like a whole album's worth of fucking melodies and shit that he's already written. He's like, "All I gotta do is put new words to it. How about loving on cobblestone streets?"
She also references the old lady they talked to, "You're written in the stars." That's also becoming their theme phrase. And the stars say, "Be my side chick."
Are we going to have to hear another song from Jed, do
we
you
are
think?
Gonna
Is
hear
there going to be a fantasy
so
suite song?
Fucking more songs from him.
"I just want to start fucking, but first let me finish my song."
Oh, you think we're going to get a mid-fantasy suite song?
I think the door's going to close to the fantasy suite, and the first things we'll hear out of the room is like, "Bring, yeah, a guitar." And then he's like, "Before we make sweet love, let's make sweet music."
They finish their collaboration. He rewards Hannah with a new love level. "You ever feel like you can't say something and you have to? I love you." Pro move. I mean, there's a lot of great moves this episode.
It was a good play. But again, at this point, you have to either increase your love level or reinforce using the word love. It can be falling in love with you. I love you. It can be anything like that. But the word love must be in your phrasing, and it must be an equal or higher level than anything you've already stated in the game. So for Luke, for example, who told her he was falling in love with her on the first time he saw her, basically, he could only go up to "I love you" now, which he did.
Yeah, he only had a couple more levels. Jed ups his love level. His heart is beating so fast at Bachelor Clues, he's about to take a bigger step in that lie.
Yeah, he's digging his hole deeper.
Hannah meets his family, and they put on a hell of a show.
It's unbelievable. His mom cheerses to your truth.
Here's to trusting your truth. When you stick to your truth, it's beneficial to everybody.
I still can't believe that.
I mean, that would be a good song, Trust Your Truth.
But it's so veiled. I think you're right in saying that they cut it that way because they didn't have to have that in there. What else can she be talking about? Trust your truth. What else?
I think she could have been talking about something else, and they might have just cut it to make it look like that.
However they cut it, at the very least, what the,
stick to your truth.
The document we are given.
She was backing up the fact that he doesn't seem like he's ready for an engagement. This might have been a strategy. Hold back. Say this is the reason why maybe she shouldn't pick me.
For sure. Once a player makes it to this round of the playoffs, as we stated, it's crucial to have a strategy with the family. They become your team at this point. It's very possible that Jed's prior strategy was, I don't want to make it all the way to the end of this. Maybe he even has machinations to get back together with the girlfriend. But he ultimately wants... I think he definitely wants to use this platform for his music career in the biggest way possible. What would be bigger than The Bachelor? How do you ensure becoming The Bachelor? Well, you have to not be selected at some point. You have to be wronged by the game itself so that you are given redemption.
You and, don't think it might be the best for his music if he won?
No, absolutely not. Being The Bachelor would be the best for his music. Because then it gets to be a whole season about his music. He does a song in every episode, not just when he has a one-on-one date or whatever.
Oh my God, I would fucking kill myself.
This is a potential true strategy to get kicked off, to use your family as the reason. Because as we know in the game, if you give the bachelor or bachelorette a reason that they can cut clean from you without vilifying themselves, they will take that reason because they're forced to remove players in the game. Except for this fucking week. Which, they've broken the rules, which I really can't believe. That's a big deal in terms of the structure of the game, that they're allowing four to fantasy suites. And I think it's really Luke. It's only because of Luke.
Okay, here's a question. Is there a chance that the other reason that they're letting her do this is because Bachelor Nation is reacting to the fact that Luke is still in it and that she's being gaslit and stuff and they feel bad for her?
Well, no, because this was already shot.
It's got to just be for Luke.
I think they know that he's a villain and that he's made it this far, and I think it through their help, they're fully manipulating every aspect of it, altering the game itself to keep around the controversial piece of it.
She tells Jed's mom he's the only one that she's said she's falling in love with, too.
Jed's dad asks him, how is this going to affect your career? And Jed's like, it's fantastic, dude. I've already done four originals. Yeah. I mean,
I'm playing a full set every night, Pops.
I think that that's a transparent moment where the family's kind of in on. I think he told them prior to this, I'm going on the show to help boost my career.
Yeah.
Lie for me.
Because he had to tell them he was doing it.
No mention of the girlfriend. Not one of them mentioned that he had a girlfriend the day before the show.
Hannah mentioned and said, I know he dated someone for a long time.
And then they were kind of like, well, yeah, that's true.
He also says toodaloo to his family, which makes me think he's a psychopath. All right, rose ceremony.
The rose ceremony kicks off with a very creepy Lord Harrison moment. She walks up to the mansion. He opens his arms for a dark embrace. And as he closes them around her, he says, welcome home. Oh, my God. What the fuck? That's not her fucking home, dude.
It's horrifying.
It's no one's home. It's an arena for blood sports.
It's her home forever. She will now come back to this mansion over and over again, as a lot of these women have.
You haunt the halls of that place.
Hannah goes into the rose ceremony saying she's going to wing it because everyone's on the same level.
Makes good sense. That's how you know your heart's in the right place.
I thought Pilot Pete was going home, but he gets the first rose. Tyler gets a rose. She leaves. The boys gather around Jed while Luke just stands there alone. Little 5'8 villain, all by his lonesome. The guys pump up Jed. It'll be complete baloney if you don't get a rose. There we go. Hint to those tapes.
That's right. Those extra baloney shows that I know fucking exist. Okay? I just always find it interesting. The baloney is mentioned. Was it because it was planted in his mind from the prior baloney incident that it was just a psychological trick? Or did the producers make him say that? Was it a scripted line?
I think it is scripted. I think that they I do think that they try to put little cutesy themes in.
We are now having a legitimate discussion about if the producers fucking put the word baloney in this episode.
Scripted, baby.
We have to draw back. We have to take a step back from what we're doing here.
It's fine. Okay, here's what happens. Here's what happens next.
Yeah.
They give Hannah two more roses. They don't have anything on this show without Luke. They will do anything to keep him on. Jed glares at him as if they are not both monsters. Bad move. He's not my MVP.
No, Jed is not my MVP either. It was a terrible move. It was a ground ball hit right to him, and it went right between his fucking legs. Because anytime something happens on this show, you are nothing but happy and supportive and the emotional rock she is always going to need. And he shows his displeasure. She's made a bad decision. Wrong. Bachelorette never makes a bad decision.
At Bachelor Clues, before this episode started, was summing up the differences between the shows. And you said on Bachelor, all the women have to be like, I'm going to be a submissive homemaker. For them, they have to be traditionally masculine and slightly submissive to the Bachelorette's power.
So in the end, they all four get a rose. There's going to be four guys going to fantasy suites of... This is unprecedented alteration of the game.
If she bangs four guys, that will be a record.
Would it be a record?
The Caitlin only person Bristow? To... Well, Caitlin banged Nick but twice. But also made fantasy suites.
She banged four times, but one guy twice.
Yes.
Well, we'll see what happens, you know. I'm very curious to see how their strategies play out with four people. But now let's discuss our MVPs of the week. Who do you got?
My MVP of the week... Tyler. He's bringing consistency. His body is consistent. His genuineness is consistent. He re-upped his PTC talking about how they were going to see his dad and he hadn't seen his dad before he was sick and he left him. He played my play of the game. He had Hannah mount him in the limo. The last image of their date, she's like, oh my god. We're doing something that's like slightly over the line. Traditionally, the player gives a kiss at the limo door and says, bye, it was so great, I love you, whatever. But the mounting is like, let's fucking start this fantasy suite right now. I'm already in the next round. Tyler's in the semifinals. He has 800,000 followers. How can you do better than that?
I'll tell you how. My MVP was not Tyler. I agree with everything you've said. But Tyler isn't truly playing the game. Tyler's just being sincere and floating through to some degree. I'm not saying he doesn't make good plays. I'm saying it's like we expect him to make these plays. We know he's going to make it that far. My MVP is somebody who should have been kicked off this fucking show 6 weeks ago.
You
it
like
is
an underdog.
Luke P.
You
underdog.
Love an underdog.
He is a villain.
The ultimate underdog.
To me, the ultimate underdogs are like the people who show up in the suits on the first night and shit. When one of those makes it really far, I'm like, damn, that person was working some magic. To me, Luke P. represents...
Sean Lowe's season, the chick who showed up in the wedding dress drunk.
She made it to the final three?
Finals.
Oh, yeah. God, you're right. Yeah. But for me, it's Luke P. because he's making aggressive plays. He made my play of the game, the Bible
That's
study.
That's true. Our MVPs are both making the play of the game.
He showed us that he's not only playing this game, he's playing a similar game with people in his church, with his family. He's doing plays that without those plays, he would no longer be in this game. He is aggressively lying and making maneuvers that keep him around, and he's done it again. He got them to change the structure of the fucking game. To me, if that's not an MVP, there isn't one.
That is a great point.
He played the producers. That's a second level of the game that no one else is playing. He's the only one doing that.
Strong argument. Any errors of the game?
There were a few errors. Pilot Pete not saying I love you.
Yes.
Tyler not saying it. And it turned out to not matter because they all got roses anyway. These errors were forgiven.
Here's an error. Condom in the car.
That was actually the most grievous error. Turned out to be nothing because Hannah had a good attitude about it. But, dude, your car's going to be in a whole segment? You don't, like, at least go through the glove box? That's weird to me. He didn't know that was in there?
It was also an error to me because of what he said right when it happened. Don't put that on camera. Fucking stop. That's so bad. I mean, it felt like, oh, is this what his personality is really like? Maybe I was the only one reading into that, but I was sitting in the chair that's the closest to the TV this episode, so I think I was seeing some deeper clues.
We see too many clues and we never see enough.
That was hometowns.
It's the first round of the playoffs done. There was no one eliminated, which is a first in Bachelor history. And now we move on to the semifinals. This is where you get to show your sexual prowess. And we have an experimental strategy that will now reveal, once you make it to Fantasy Suites, if you want to be the next Bachelor or Bachelorette, is very simple. Have purposefully bad sex.
That person is not going to pick you to be their spouse. They're going to be like, oh, it didn't work out. But it's something they can never talk about. And if you do talk about it, you're vilified. Nick's first season of The Bachelorette with Andy Dorfman, he said, why did you make love to me if you weren't in love with me? And it was seen as a very big no-no. And you can't talk about it on national TV.
Without sexual compatibility, no Bachelor or Bachelorette would ever choose you. So you get dismissed after having had sex with them, which is a horrible insult. The show will owe you. The Bachelor Kingdom will owe you, and you might be granted a place on a throne wearing your own crown in the very next season. It's an experimental strategy, but one that I think would work every time.
I feel betrayed by her. I feel betrayed by the show. That is key. The show owes you something, and that's the crown. And that is an experimental strategy that Tyler C. should play right now.
Absolutely.
It would be perfect for him to play because, first of all, she's expecting this to be one of his great qualities because he's got a hot bod. So it's going to take him down extra pegs at this point. And he's got 800,000 followers. Could be next Bachelor. Easily.
Well, that's it. Thank you very much. And we'll see you next week for the semifinals here at
Game
of
Roses.